Okay, thank you for your introduction. I work at the Viewing Experience Innovation Group. It's a small research group within consumer lifestyle, and we work on the development of future television systems. And we are mainly a systems group, so we combine system aspects of LCD television to produce better quality. The part of which I've been working is white gamut displays, and that's also the topic of this presentation. And then primarily the design of the white gamut. So there are different display options which give white gamut, and in this presentation I will go into which one is can be a nice option. So this is the outline of my presentation. So in the introduction I will briefly touch on why it's interesting to look at white gamut displays. Because there are different system options to create white gamut displays, some gamuts are more suitable than others, and I will try to propose a gamut design target. From that I will derive a gamut evaluation method, which will be illustrated in a qualitative simulation study on a few multi-primary displays. After that I will discuss the limitations of the proposed methods, and then I will go to the conclusions. So the basic question of this presentation is, if we have different design display options to create a white gamut display, which of those options would you prefer? So in this image you see different gamuts, and it's not immediately obvious, at least not to me, which one is the best. So why is it interesting to look at white gamut displays? LCD has become the predominant display technology for television displays, but conventional LCD displays have a rather limited gamut. The gamut is here plotted in the U prime, V prime space, and the red triangle is the ETU REC709 gamut, which is representative for conventional LCD displays. The blue dots represent the natural colors as measured by a pointer, and you see that a large part of those colors still not fit in the gamut. And if you look at the visible part of the gamut, the horseshoe, only 33% of those colors fall inside the LCD TV gamut. So this suggests that there's still a lot of, to improve on LCD televisions. There are different ways to increase the size of the gamut. So one option is to choose narrower color filters. So you select a smaller part of the spectrum. Disadvantage of this approach is that it will reduce the efficiency of the overall system. Another option is to replace the backlight, for instance by using RGB backlight system. Possible disadvantages of this is that it can experience stability issues, so if the LEDs have different aging, the color of the display will change over time. And furthermore, it's a very expensive solution. So the third option is to look at multi-primary displays. Multi-primary displays use extra color filters. For instance, in the example on top of the sheet, you see that we have added a yellow, a cyan, and a magenta filter. The advantage of these filters is that they have a broader passband in the spectrum, so a larger percentage of the backlight is passed to the viewer, so the system can become more efficient. And in the color space U-prime V-prime diagram, you also see you can make a larger gamut by positioning the primaries outside. They have more separated secondary primaries. The gamut design is often done by looking at the chromaticity of the area covered in chromaticity space. And peak luminance of the system. For multi-primary systems, it becomes more important to also look at the third dimension of the color space. Here you see an RGBW system, and compared to standard RGB system, it has a very peaked gamut, as you can see in these figures. So this means that it has a much higher efficiency for desaturated colors around white. But because you have now four color filters in the display instead of three, the saturated colors will become less luminous. So saturated red, green, and blue, the luminance will decrease. And for designing an efficient gamut, it's important to consider both these effects, and because you cannot efficiently use the entire gamut if you want to also have a good reproduction of the saturated color. In television, you often look at objects which come from reflective objects. So we have introduced a basic assumption that most TV content comes from reflective objects. Therefore, we propose to use the optimal colors as a design target. Then here you see the optimal colors for an incident spectrum of daylight spectrum at 10,000 Kelvin. The optimal colors represent the percentage of luminance that is reflected by a color of a maximum luminance reflected by a color of a certain by a surface of a certain color. So this is illustrated over here. So the basic assumption is that we have a luminance of the luminance of 10,000 Kelvin. The light is reflected from the object. And then it can have different reflectance spectra. For instance, here we see a block-based bandpass filter. And then the reflection spectrum will represent a point in the chromaticity diagram. The optimal colors optimize the maximum luminance for that a certain chromaticity, and that happens to be the block-based reflection spectrum. Based on this assumption, so the colors we want to represent are surface colors, we introduced the following gamut comparison method. So we look at the difference of the optimal colors with respect to the maximum lumens that the display can generate. So in this equation, you see that, that we look at the relative difference, and the reference is the optimal color stimuli. If the assumption is not totally satisfied, for instance, there are not reflective colors, this can still be a nice reference, because it, the optimal colors provide a very smooth surface. Also, the luminance drops with the saturation, which is a quite common property. And it is defined over the entire gamut. So, our gamut comparison method will generate a 2D map, as illustrated in this figure. So for each chromaticity, it will express the percentage luminance difference with the design of the target function. This example, you see the percentage luminance difference for the ABU gamut. You see that there is a the differences are quite small. So for a standard game with the ETU-X7 and 9 is a very good choice for primaries. So to increase the efficiency, it would make sense to add a white primary, like the RGBW system. Always step too far. The target is to make a white gamut system. So we start first with a white gamut RGB system. So this graph illustrates a white gamut RGB system of an available system. You see that it, the maximum efficiency, there's a loss of around 11% compared to the standard gamut. Here we have normalized that the white point is at 0% luminance difference. And you see that, especially for very saturated red, there is a surplus of luminance. So you can generate more luminance than necessary for the optimal colors. And to make the system more efficient, it makes sense to add a white primary. Here you see the percentage luminance difference for a system with a white primary. It has a very peaked gamut around the light. So there you get an efficiency benefit of around 50%. But for other colors, for very saturated colors, there is a loss in efficiency. And this is especially a problem in yellow. There's a 30% efficiency loss in yellow, which makes it very difficult to render yellow in a correct way. So yellow will start to look brownish. A solution for that could be, for instance, to go to an RGBW system. So we replace the white primary by a yellow primary. This still gives an efficiency gain of around 40% in yellow, but the peak of the gamut has now shifted in the direction of the yellow primary. So this also means that the white point of the display becomes very yellowish. And at the desired white point of the system, the efficiency loss is around 25%. And also for a very saturated red and for very saturated blue, there is a loss. So one way to solve this is to introduce additional primaries. Here you see a system in which we have added, besides the yellow, also magenta and cyan primary. Now you see that the peak of the gamut is much broader, so the gamut looks much more balanced. And there's still an efficiency gain of 40% around the target white point. But for the very saturated red, for blue and red, there will be quite a loss in efficiency. Now, especially for red, this is a problem. So red is a very important color in rendering an image. So we decided in this example to replace the magenta filter by a second red filter. And you see that there is still quite some efficiency gain around the black body curve of the system. Around the black body curve, and the gamut is has a better balance. Only for blue colors, there's a quite a loss in efficiency compared to the optimal colors. There is also still significant gain in yellow, orange, red, and cyan. And here it is also important to note that we look at the relative measure of the, so we divide by the optimal colors. So near the horseshoe, the luminance will decrease, so the weighting will also decrease. So the blue, there's a shortage of blue, but it looks more dramatic than it is when you start rendering pictures on this type of display. A reason to buy the last display was a nice option. It's also in the statistics of colors that occur in nature. So here you see an analysis of the statistics that occur in the IEC sequence, and this is on a log probability density function. So there you see that a lot of colors are concentrated around the black body curve. So and there is. The probability density in blue is quite small. So this means that even though you have the clip in blue, it will occur less often than you might expect from a flat distribution. But now it's nice to compare the system with the starting point. So we on the left side we have the white gamut RGB system. On the right side, we have the multi-primary system. You see that there's an increase in efficiency for the multi-primary system around the black body curve compared to the standard white gamut system. There's about 40% luminance, extra luminance in white. So. The method we have proposed provides a very simple way to identify the excess and shortage in luminance over the gamut. The proposed method creates a 2D a map, which still requires interpretation, so it's not a metric. it easily reveals problems with the rendering of multi-primary system. And also important, it also provides a clue for improving the system. The method is certainly not a single number of metrics, so you cannot say this system is really better than that one, but you can easily identify potential problems. The method is based on the starting assumption that it, that we have reflective colors. This will also not be always true, but also in this case it can be a nice reference because it is very smooth. And we typically want to have quite a smooth variance in numbers. And it is defined over the entire visible canvas. So the conclusions based on our research is that the peak luminance and prominence are not sufficient to characterize the display. So also the luminance has to be considered. We propose to do that by considering the optimal colors as a design target and compare the display gamut with the optimal colors. And we have demonstrated this method in a qualitative simulation study for different multi-primaries. Maybe there's still some time.
Since the octicolor solid or the optimal colors change with the illuminance, I wasn't sure what were you doing this for, one of those or considering a whole bunch.
Now we choose one luminance, we use the daylight luminance at a color temperature of 10,000 Kelvin, because most television display also have that as a white target for the white point.
Do you have any explanation of why you found a lot of colors along the black body curve? That was a statistical thing.
Yes.
I didn't quite totally understand where it came from, but you found a lot of colors play along the black body, but that wasn't because you changed the luminance, which was about
to be. Yeah, it was based on the statistical analysis of the IEC sequence just by looking how often its color occurs when you don't find it.
The perplexity that I've seen trying to get to the quasi gamut of a multi-primary display is that the mappings are not known to the public, they were proprietary. How did you
You can compute the gamut in a lot of different ways. You can look at the intersection of luminance, a line of a certain chromaticity with fixed chromaticity where it has a cross-section with the gamut boundary, and then you know what's the maximum luminance. Or you can use, for instance, linear programming to find it.
The thing is, if you don't know what the limits are imposed by the manufacturer, you might want to take a superset of all possible gamuts as a computing tool. But you won't know what you actually get on the display through the algorithm that the manufacturer provides. There are only three dimensions of output and many dimensions of input.
I'm not sure what you're referring to. Do you mean the primary conversion itself? Or?
Is the when you have, let's say, three inputs coming in, but you have six possible inputs, how do you refill those if you have an output gamut? How do you know how do you control all the parameters and how do you don't control?
Yeah, you need a multi-primary conversion algorithm for doing that. You can based on different techniques, for instance, linear programming or quantizing programming.
Yeah, it's going to chat about it at the break. All right, let's thank our three speakers one more time.